Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second of our virtual services for this coronavirus pandemic we find ourselves in. And we said last week, or Chris said last week, it's going to be a little bit different. Well, a lot different. And this week, it's going to be even more different than before. So last week, we were able to meet up at the church, and we were all able to record our bits together. So it all sort of fitted together. We had all constant background and all that. Unfortunately, Boris has rather put a stop to that, or should I say the coronavirus has. So for the next few weeks, you're going to be seeing a lot of other people's houses. This is my flat, for anyone that's not seen it before. For anyone on the video, service, you're going to see a lot of people's living rooms and studies and bedrooms, and even my washing behind me right there. But anyway, I'm going to sit in front of that so it's not so obvious. If I'd have thought of that, I'd have cleared it up before. But anyway, I really do hope and pray that you are doing well in this time. It's a difficult time for many. It's a challenging time for many. Many people might be scared about their job positions and things like that, and family members. So I really do hope that this is going to bring some sort of brightness and really uplift your spirits today, this morning. So the content of this service is going to be sort of broadly similar to what we did last week. I'm leading this week, and Chris is going to be bringing us a message from Esther. He's going to be looking at the final part of our Esther series. We're also going to have some prayers, and we're going to have some music selections for you to listen to afterwards as well. So it's going to be a jam-packed sort of half hour, 40 minutes, like it was last week. But first of all, shall I open with a prayer? Lord, we pray that wherever we find ourselves this Sunday morning, wherever we're watching or listening to this service, we pray that you will be with us. And even though we might be apart, you might bring us together as a church at this time, and that your spirit might really come upon us and draw us closer to you. Amen. So we're going to have some Bible readings a bit later on, but Chris has given me free rein to choose a couple of them. He's decided that we're talking about Esther, so I'll do the Esther passage later on. But I have free rein to choose a New Testament passage. And to be honest, it's an excuse to read my absolute favourite passage. And it's actually quite apt for this situation we find ourselves in. So if you want to read along, it's in Romans. It's Romans chapter 8. And we'll be reading from verse 18. It's subtitled Future Glory. So chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What else can we say but amen? Those are amazing, amazing words. You can probably see why it's my favourite passage. And you can also hopefully see how it absolutely is relevant to the situation we find ourselves in. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? To that list we could probably add, could coronavirus? No, we might be worried. We might be concerned. We might have genuine concerns. But I think it's an encouragement that through those words, Paul is saying to us, don't be worried about anything, because what we think might separate us from God's love at the moment is coronavirus. It could be anything, but he's there, he's supporting us, he's going to be with us. We're not gonna fail if I don't even know what I'm trying to say here, but you know what I mean. It's just a really good passage, and I just really wanted to share it with you this morning. So I don't really know what's coming up next until I edit all this together. I think now we might have some prayers.
Father God, we remember at this difficult time that you are Lord of all, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Creator, the infinite wisdom and supreme power. Nothing occurs that you do not know about, and you, O Lord, are in ultimate control. As we submit to those in authority, in accordance with your word, we pray for our politicians and business leaders as they seek expert advice and make decisions. Grant them, O Lord, clarity amidst the detail, vision beyond human understanding, and your wisdom in their actions. We pray for the frontline workers, particularly those providing treatment and care in our hospitals. May your love be apparent through their compassion, and your power support them through long hours, stressful times, and difficult decisions. Put support around them to help them through their families, friends, and neighbours. We lift before you those who are ill and ask for your supernatural intervention. You, Lord, are the healer. You knit us together, and you know our every part. Strengthen them, we pray, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Touch them with your presence and bring them, we pray, back to good health. We pray for those who are working on antigen test kits and their dispatch. Enable them to rapidly get these out to all who need them and to be able to overcome difficulties in scaling up production. We remember those who have lost loved ones and ask for your comfort. Place alongside them the support they need at this time, and may your presence bring them peace as they grieve. Father, you are no stranger to adversity, having sacrificed everything for us. Help us to recognize needs and to be your people in our communities. May our neighbors see your love through us and through these times come to know you. May we remember each day that our strength and our hope are in you. Amen.
Thank you for that. Amen, indeed. I just wanted to talk a bit about what my situation is at the minute. We heard a little bit about it last week. Basically for me, it is business as usual. I'm still going to work, even though we're in lockdown. So from that perspective, nothing has changed. But I just want to share what I felt on Monday night when that announcement was made that we are going into lockdown. Referring back to the passage I read at the beginning of the service, I did begin to feel a bit helpless. I mean, you're announcing all these restrictions on freedom, what we can and can't do, what we're allowed to do, what we can go out for, and it did really feel really incredibly scary at that time. And to be honest, I can admit it here that I really didn't sleep particularly well that night, not because of particular worries. Well, I think subconsciously a load of worries were going round and round my head, but you know, just trying to process everything that had been said, it was really sort of playing on my mind. But then I went into work on Tuesday, and we were all sort of, you know, as you are when that sort of news comes out, a bit down in the dumps and a little bit depressed and a little bit sad about what's going on. But then as I went through the day and we went through our work, and that was the same day that we got the announcement that we might be working on the coronavirus, the COVID-19 medicines and the vaccines in the future. And I got this real sense of God sort of calming me and sort of basically saying, I put you in this place for this reason. You're working here because you can make a difference here. And it's sort of tied into what we've been thinking about in Esther, not particularly sort of this time round. Well, I suppose it is this time round, but it, what was said in the previous half of the series and that little catchphrase that we had for such a time as this. And I really felt that sense of God saying, you know, I've put you in this place so you can do this work for such a time as this. And I just sort of wanted to say that you might feel despair, you might feel afraid, you might feel discouragement, but God has put you where you are right now with whatever skill set you have for such a time as this. Now, it might take a little bit of prayer, it might take a little bit of God and sort of nudging you, but I'm sure that even the people that are stuck at home, I'm sure God's got a plan for you right there, right now. Wherever you're stuck, whatever you're doing, just remember that God has got a plan, and that's what he's been really impressing on my heart this week and what I've been sort of going through. So that was a really sort of clear message from God that I really think would be good to share with everyone this week. So that's my experience. We're moving on to an interview section now. Well, I say interview. I've given the questions, or Chris has given the questions to me that I've passed on to someone else. And it's keeping it in the family this week. I thought I'd ask my mum and dad, or mum or dad, or whoever sends in the video to me, what their response to this crisis is. So over to them.
Hi there, I hope everyone's doing well. These very strange circumstances that we find ourselves in. And Andy's asked me if I'd just share a bit with you all about how things are going for us, for me. So first of all, the first thing he's asked is, how is the situation affecting you? Well, like majority of the country, I'm now working from home. The university closed its doors to students and staff last Friday was our first sort of working day at work. And so I'm working from home. So is James, which is interesting. But it's good because we've got two separate rooms that we can work in. So I've set myself up in the dining room and James is in another room working. It's going fine. I'm missing my colleagues and even the students, dare I say it. But we, you know, we catch up with certainly colleagues. We catch up on, we have video chats. We've set up a coffee morning sort of break at about 11:30 every day that we can video into and talk with each other and not talk about work, not just talk about work, which is good. But yeah, it's strange. It takes some getting used to. I must admit, I do like the lie-ins. Not having to travel to Cambridge every day makes a big difference. Yeah, and also, you know, since Tuesday, you know, being restricted to how often you can go out, what you can go out for, that is tough. But, you know, we're managing it, managing to get a decent walk in at least once a day. Or once a day, sorry. And then, the shops, we're managing to get most of the stuff we need in the shops. So it's okay. I'm also missing church and my church family, our church family, I should say. We've had the last Sunday's service, which was really good. Followed that on Facebook. And also we had a prayer meeting on Monday, which a few technical hitches, but thanks to Susan, it all seemed to sort of go on smoothly enough, considering it's the first time we've done it. And that was really good, really useful, just to get together to pray with each other and for each other and for families and various situations. So the second question he's asked is, how is it affecting the family? I think when you're a mum, you never stop worrying about your kids. So I, you know, was concerned about how it would affect Andy and Becky, particularly as Andy lives alone. But he's still going into work. He is now a key worker, which means that the people in his laboratory will be working on the coronavirus either testing or drugs, I'm not really sure, but anyway, he's okay. Becky's also working from home, bit difficult as a teacher, but she's doing online lessons for the children. She says it's the boring part of the job and she'd much rather be teaching the children, but they're both okay. As for my mum, we're really grateful she's in a care home, she's being looked after, and she seems really happy there. And for James's mum, bit trickier. She has carers coming into her every day from a reputable agency. She's that bit older. She stops any extra people coming in that don't need to be there. She'll talk to them on the phone. So, yeah, we are a little concerned about her. But at the moment, she's doing fine and she's keeping healthy. And the last question was, how are you maintaining your discipleship at this time? Like I say, we had the prayer meeting on Monday, which was really good. And I'm filming this on a Thursday evening. We're just about to have our first life group video conference session as well, so it'll be good to see how that goes. Also, obviously, reading the Bible, praying. There's a really good app called The Chosen, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head now, but it's films about the life of Jesus, and it is very, very good. Susan put me onto that, so thanks, Susan. Yeah, it's just just trying to trust in the Lord and know that He will get us through all of this. It's a tough time, but I do believe that. Well, I know that the Lord is with us and that He is guiding us, and He's keeping all of us as safe as we can be. Hopefully see you all in the flesh very soon.
Thanks to Mum and Dad there, and I'm sure you'll join me in praying for all the things that they've raised, all the issues that they've raised in their video interview. I'll pray that we keep everyone in our minds for this next week. I'm just going to interrupt my past self at this point. I recorded all those bits that you've seen already on Thursday night. It's now Saturday. I'm editing all the video together, and I've got another thing that we want to share with you that I wasn't aware of on Thursday. Just now, just before Chris says something, Lynn and Barry are going to lead us in some reflective poetry. So over to them.
Here are some verses I wrote some 20 years ago. They're called Dialogue, and I hope that they're helpful to you in the situation we find ourselves today. Now that I'm alone, I feel loneliness. Now that I am isolated, I feel overwhelmed by the isolation. Yet, the obviousness of this seems so important. Why is quiet so threatening? Is it that I am simply afraid to be alone with you, Lord? Or simply just afraid?
I do not speak to you in riddles, but I do speak. You will be able to hear me clearly when your receptiveness is not swamped by racing thoughts. Expunge all clutter from your mind. Empty yourself and come before me naked. Be quiet, be calm, and in that stillness you will know my peace. Do you still not understand? When you were a child, simple and innocent, you held encapsulated within you all the qualities required for understanding. To that place you must return, to that goal you must aspire. As a child, you must come to me. The moment that you do, my desires for your life will pour into your mind. Those things that I planned in the beginning will become real, flooding and overcoming all doubt and fear. My plans for your life are not complicated. In simplicity, you will find the answers that you seek.
I hear you, Lord. I think I'm beginning to understand. I will wait patiently for your guidance, for your command. It is not the quiet that frightens me, but the vulnerability. If I come to you open, empty, with total trust, in a word, childlike, then I will have nothing to fear. As I fully accept you as my Father, in that relationship, all that you require of me will be fully fulfilled, and there I will find my rest, enfolded in your arms, protected by your love. Father, help me to truly be your child, for I acknowledge that this is how you desire me to be. Peace will then transcend mere quiet. Love will overcome all fear, and obedience ensure eternal life. Amen.
Just before I hand over to Chris, we're going to have our second reading of the day, and it's Esther chapter 10. So it's Esther chapter 10, a nice short reading today. So I think I've obviously done something good. So Esther 10, the greatness of Mordecai. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores, and all of his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king had raised him, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent amongst the Jews, and held in high esteem by many of his fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of all his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. So just before we play in Chris's message to us this morning, shall we pray for him? Lord, we pray that whatever you've given to Chris to record and play out this morning, even though it may be in an unfamiliar situation, unfamiliar surroundings, unfamiliar way of getting the message to us this morning, we pray that you might really touch his heart and be with him in his preparations and his speaking, and pray that whatever he's put on his whatever you've put on his heart for him to bring to us this morning, let it be the right thing to say. Amen. Apparently I can't think of the right things to say, but there we go. I'll hand over to Chris.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks to all those who've contributed to this week's Worship at Home. This morning's message comes to you from my office here in the manse. These are new and strange experiences for us all. Today, we close our series in the Book of Esther. That might seem a strange thing to do in the light of our current situation, but I believe God has led us through this book for a reason. Let me tell you why. This is a book about the relationship between providence and circumstance, between the sovereignty of God and free will, between destiny and fate. I want to unpack those words a little so that you understand what I might mean by them. First, let's look at providence and circumstance. Providence refers to those things which God has provided, those things which are built into the way the universe works, or which God has specifically pre-planned. It's only by God's undeserved gift that we exist at all. Through his grace, God works through the laws of physical and human nature. Of course, God can and does step outside those laws. We call those occasions miracles. But God also works out his providence through circumstance, what we might call God incidences. The book of Esther doesn't name one miracle. Yet, as we look back over the book, it becomes impossible to believe that all these events are coincidences. For example, God provided Esther at the right time, in the right place, to save the Jewish people from Haman's plan to destroy them. In the circumstances, the everyday events, we were able to look back and see God's providence in the book of Esther. And I hope you can see it in your own life too. As believers, we know a further depth of God's providing. We know he's provided Jesus. There is a special providence for those who put their trust in God. He makes specific promises to provide for the needs of those who trust in him. We have access to the revelation of God's will by the Holy Spirit. And we can take it a step further. We can know that we are part of God's provision. He's provided us for our community so that we might bear fruit in every good work, or as we put it in our logo, we are prepared to serve. In difficult times, we might question if God is providing for us. not enough personal protective equipment, not enough ventilators, not enough toilet rolls. But this leads us to the next theme, the relationship between God's sovereignty and free will. God's sovereignty refers to the revelation that God not only made the universe, but ultimately has authority over all things. There is no power in heaven or earth that can resist God's will. However, I say ultimate authority because God also revealed that he delegated authority to Adam and Eve. He gave them dominion or rule over the earth. They then foolishly bound themselves to Satan and became slaves to the law of sin and death. The rest of the Bible then traces the rescue mission of God to re-establish his authority on earth through a redeemed humanity. He did this by entering creation himself as a human being and overcoming sin and death. After his resurrection, Jesus declared that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. He then sent his disciples to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all he had commanded, promising to fill them with Holy Spirit. So he gave the disciples authority. Through Jesus Christ, God has completed his work. He's reconciled us to himself through Christ, and through him, he is working to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So God is ultimately sovereign, because in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, whom he's called according to his purposes. But we have free will. God refuses to override that free will, even to save Jesus. This means that we still do things wrong. We still suffer the consequences of others doing things wrong. God works his will in and through our wills. This includes even the evil that people do. God does not plan or purpose evil, but he does allow it. He allows it and is able to work through it because he works through all things for the good of those who love him. He allows us to buy too many toilet rolls or to share those that we have. As believers, we're invited to join God in bringing about his good, pleasing and perfect will. That's great, isn't it, to be part of God's plan. We pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's not done on earth as in heaven yet. And having prayed, we work to bring about God's will. It's by choosing to live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way that we bear much fruit. It's the choice that leads to the bearing the fruit. Sometimes God works with and through human intentions. Sometimes he overrules them. We see some clear examples of this in Esther. Haman is given freedom to work out his plan and ample opportunity to repent. When he does not, God overrules, and Haman's own actions lead to the manner of his destruction. He has free will, yet God overrules the consequences of Haman's actions. God did not cause Haman to do evil. Haman stubbornly chose to do evil. Likewise, God did not force Esther to put her own life at risk to save her people. Indeed, Mordecai declares that if she does not, then relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. This leads us to consider the difference between destiny and fate. So Mordecai told Esther that she may be born and have come to royal position to rescue her people. May have been born and come to royal position to rescue her people. He's suggesting she has a destiny, but destiny is different to fate. Fate is the belief that our future is fixed. There is nothing we can do to influence it. God has a destiny for each of us, a planned purpose. Whether we fulfill our destiny depends on submitting ourselves to his plan and knowing that he cares for us. This is why, in addition to praying that we'll bear much fruit, Paul prays that we'll grow in the knowledge of God, because it's through knowing God's will that we're able to fulfill our destiny. Esther fulfilled her destiny because she chose to respond in the right ways to Mordecai's challenge. She could have chosen not to. Of course, we all make mistakes, and that doesn't mean we've blown our one chance of serving God in our generation. Whatever mess we've got ourselves into, we can still fulfill our destiny if we submit to Him. God is able to restore us. So let's look at Esther chapter 10. I'm not going to recap the whole book this morning, but you can access the talks for chapters 1 to 9 on the website, and I encourage you, if you've just picked up at chapter 10, to have a look through those. Let me remind you that Esther is a book which never mentions God and never mentions prayer. Yet, as we've gone through the book, we've discovered that this highlights all the more clearly how God works supernaturally through seeming coincidences and chance. God's activity is seen all the more clearly because He's not mentioned at all. Haman trusts his plan to chance. When he chooses to exterminate the Jews, he chooses the date of when he's going to exterminate the Jews by casting lots or rolling dice. God then proceeds to beat him at dice. God works through seeming chance so often that it becomes obvious that it's a miracle. The other major theme is the ironic twist, the turning of the tables of poetic justice. What Haman had planned to do for himself and two others is reversed. Today's chapter is rather short. Blame Cardinal Stephen Langton for that, who set the chapters that we use today in 1205. I confess, I was heard to say that if we could do without any chapter in the Bible, it would be this one. But to be fair, I did say if. It deals with a practical problem that arose because Haman was not able to take loot from the Jews to fulfill the king's coffers. The Jews refused to take any plunder from their attackers. So instead, the king imposes an empire-wide tribute, a tax. This chapter is also a memorial to Mordecai, and I'd like to think that Esther had this inserted because she loved him and she wanted it to be recorded what he'd done. It's a final ironic twist that Mordecai's fame is immortalized in the annals of Media and Persia, exactly where the unchangeable law that threatened the destruction of the Jews was written by Haman. So how do we apply this in the 21st century? How do we apply these broader themes to our lives today? Well, I remind you that today our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And God has provided us with adequate PPE. He's given us spiritual armor. See Ephesians chapter 6, 13 to 17. We need to use that armor. We can complain about our difficulties and restrictions, or we can look for God's providence in the circumstances of our everyday lives. A theology of providence, though, doesn't mean that we have to praise God for the coronavirus, but it does mean that we have a God who's able to even use this for His purposes. We can find things to praise God for during this crisis. He is able to turn the tables on our enemy and use this for His purposes. Each week in our life group, we have a challenge. The challenge to put the Word of God into action in the coming week. The challenge from our last study before we closed the church building was this. During this week, pray each day for more people to gather on Sunday to encourage each other and celebrate Jesus' victory. Well, this virus has made me look foolish. Well, okay, but actually, whilst we're not able to gather physically, how many are gathering in new ways as church outside of the building? We can still declare the sovereignty of God. He still rules and reigns. He's promised to build His church. We can choose to pray for His will to be done. We can use our free will to choose to work for the good of our people and speak up for the welfare of all, as Mordecai did. We are all key workers in God's kingdom. We can take a fatalistic view of this virus. If I'm going to get it, I get it. Or we can take a responsible view of our destiny. Wash our hands, stay at home, stay at a distance when out. Esther did not recklessly enter the king's chamber without preparing and following the correct palace procedure when she entered the chamber. God does not promise that no Christian will get sick. He does promise that nothing can prevent us from fulfilling our destiny if we listen to his guidance through the Holy Spirit. We can choose to live in fear, or we can choose to live in belief and believe that we were born for such a time as this. God does not promise that no Christian will get sick, but he has provided assurance that our eternal destiny is secure through Christ. And if that's the case, what a privilege we have that God has trusted us with this message of love and grace at this critical time. So let's be on our guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. How should we respond to this? Let's just take a moment to change our perspective, to trust that God has and will provide all that we need, to trust our Heavenly Father is still sovereign, to choose to live out our destiny, that we were born for such a time as this. And having changed our perspective, let's ask God what opportunities we have to work for the good of our people and speak for the welfare of all. Let's pray. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have provided all that we need. Thank you that you have secured our eternal destiny. Help us, Lord, to hear your guiding and direction through the Holy Spirit, that we might indeed speak up for all people and the welfare of all. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for sending that in to me. Hopefully it made sense when I've joined everything all together. Thank you to everyone that's joined us for the service this morning. As with last week, underneath this video on the website, there's going to be a playlist of songs that have been selected for us to listen to and to respond in our own ways at home. But I just want to finish reading a psalm. So it's Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Now, all those readings for today, they've sort of fitted in quite nicely with our current situation, haven't they? It's all about perseverance. I really do hope you persevere through this week and look out for emails on how we're going to try and meet together virtually over this week. And hopefully we'll be able to see you all this time next week for our next virtual service. And we pray that each one will be one step closer to when we can all meet together as a church family again. So for now, if you want to click through to the playlist below with some music to have a sort of worship time, that would be great. But we will see you next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. May God be with you. Amen.